This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart Radio your choice. We are so glad that you're able to listen, that you've set aside some time to think about some issues that that the world around us is really not interested in talking about or thinking about. To set aside time to say, what is really right? What is really required of me on this question of life before birth, on this question of life after abortion? Our mission here is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And what I love about the pro-life community as it exists in this program and in our ministry is that this has become a safe place for us to share our stories, whether or not it was an unplanned pregnancy where someone chose to give birth and parent, or give birth and place for adoption, or whether or not, like me, you have chosen abortion in the face of an unplanned pregnancy. God's love covers a multitude of things. And I'm really pleased to be able to bring you a story tonight that is one that's really extraordinary, not only because of the circumstances of the unplanned pregnancy, but all that has happened in the aftermath in the life of our guest, Denise Montanay. Denise, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Denise, I've been familiar with your work for many years, and over a year ago, I saw the Hush documentary, which was something where your story was featured, and I want to give you the chance to talk about that and your involvement with that project as well. But we've got to start with your story, because abortion touched your life at a much earlier point than for many of the rest of us. Please tell us what happened when you were 13.
Well, tragically, you know, I think my story is so typical for so many women. I was having a sleepover at a girlfriend's, and in the night, her older brother came into the room and raped me. He stole my virginity. I never gave it away, and it began a spiral of downward going because I never told anyone that I was raped. And so now, of course, I encourage young people, if they've ever been touched inappropriately or raped, that they do need to report the perpetrators so they can get help. And anyway, and then, you know, I started drinking and smoking and, you know, experimenting with drugs. And at the age of 16, I had my first crush, and I got pregnant at the age of 16. And long story short is when I found out I was pregnant, my initial reaction at 16 was, you know, fear and all that. But eventually I thought, you know what, I can do this. And I was making a determination that I was going to have this baby. And I actually began to steal baby clothes from an aunt who was pregnant at the same time, but she was further along than me. And I thought, she won't notice this little outfit missing or that little outfit missing. And I was making all these plans. I was going to run away and have this baby and write my parents a letter because I knew they'd be disappointed. But I thought, I can do this. And however, when I ended up telling my mom that I was pregnant, her advice to me was, Denise, honey, you're only 16. You have your whole life ahead of you. She said, you know, why don't you just come and have this operation and you can just forget about it and get on with your life. So I thought, oh, I can get unpregnant and it's okay with my mom. It's okay with the doctors. It's okay with the government. So I thought it must be okay. And I called my boyfriend at the time and told him that I was pregnant. He went into denial trying to say it wasn't him, but he was the only man I'd been with for about 8 months. And You know, and then he said he had a prostate problem, and I'm thinking, what's a prostate? But anyway, you know, he did not have a prostate problem. He had three children afterwards, but with another woman. But I ended up having that first abortion at 16, trying to forget about it, get on with my life. It was in a hospital. However, 10 years later, at the age of 26, and I was not a Christian, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, and I ended up pregnant the second time. And when I asked the doctor, you know, how far along I was and what was developed, he put a little dot on the page and he said, oh, it's nothing, it's just a clump of tissue. So he lied to me. I was about 8 to 9 weeks pregnant. I had no idea about the truth of fetal development. I had no idea, Kim, that there was all the DNA there from the moment of conception, that there was a beating heart 3 weeks after conception, that by 7, 8 weeks, all the vital organs were formed. And now there was even arms and legs and fingers and toes by 8, 9 weeks. And I was, you know, ignorant of the truth and of the facts. And they sent me to an abortion clinic in Buffalo, New York, from Canada, from Toronto. And it was the most horrific experience. I was wide awake during that procedure. It was the most excruciating pain. I went, you know, after it was over and I was begging the doctor to stop it, I went into the fetal position. I felt like I went into some kind of shock. I couldn't speak. It was definitely some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder. And I got an infection. I got a damaged cervix. I went into a deep depression for years. I just wanted to die. It was a horrific experience, and I know many, many thousands of women across Canada, the United States, and around the world have similar testimonies to mine.
Yes,
and you
Denise,
can't change it once it's done. And right. Once you get the revelation of, oh, my gosh, what did I do? And, mm-hmm. you know, these were my children. It is just devastating.
Denise Montanay is our guest, and Denise is an international speaker. She's author of the book Forgiven of Murder, A True Story, which has gone to a third printing. Also founder, president of Canada Silent No More, a campaign to reach women hurt by abortion. And she's shared her testimony all over the world. She has a new book out as well, which we'll hear a little bit about today, called The Bride, The Serpent, and the Seed. And as I mentioned at the top of the of our interview today, Denise is part of the Hush documentary. Denise, you know, the before is always harrowing. Mm-hmm. Even if a woman says to me, I had an anesthesia, I don't remember anything about what occurred, and I got up and I went on with my life. That's a harrowing story as well, because yeah. We know that a life was lost, and we know that at some point a consequence is going to unfold in the life of that woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when you talk about trauma is embedded in the experience, because a life is lost every time. And I want to give you the opportunity to talk about, briefly, to talk about your recovery and how you found your way to faith. When I say briefly, I want to leave us time, because we have such a short window here, but I want to leave us time to talk about the Hush documentary and some of the other scientific findings about the impact of abortion on women and the hope that we have, even in light of those devastating consequences as well. But before we go any further, talk about how in the world you found faith to carry on, and how in the world you found faith to go and do all that you have done to help others in the wake of your sorrow after abortion.
Yeah, well, you know, I began seeking God. Who is God? Which way to God? Where is God? And, you know, I ended up becoming a born-again Christian at the age of 30. I quit smoking, drinking, drugs. Like, he totally delivered me from all these addictions. I mean, I was a mess. And, you know, I ended up one night in my little apartment in Toronto I was still single. I mean, I was praying for a husband. You know, I just wanted to meet a nice guy, get married, have a family, which was in my heart all along. And one night, Jesus Christ appeared to me with my three aborted children. And, I, you know, it sounds kind of weird, but I was about to have a bath, and he walked through the wall because a voice said, Jesus is coming with your three children. I'm thinking in my brain, he's going to come in with three little fetuses. But no, they were as old as they would have been at that time. And I began to weep and cry, and I looked up, and my first thought was, wow, you really look like how you look, because I was very skeptical of, you know, the artists and how they depicted Jesus, but he does kind of look like that. And then there were my three children, and I just knew their names. I'd never thought if they were boys or girls or how old they would have been at that time, and I just knew Jennifer, Daniel, and Rebecca. And all that I could do in my weeping and crying was ask each one to forgive me. And I said, Jennifer, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. She said, I forgive you, Mom. And she looked so much like me. And like anyone would say, oh, my gosh, that's your daughter. And the next one, Daniel, gorgeous-looking children. They were beautiful children. Please forgive me. He said, I forgive you, Mom. Rebecca, please forgive me. She said, I forgive you, Mommy. Don't cry. We're with Jesus. And then I was wiping the tears, and they disappeared. And so that was the beginning of I just knew that I knew that God was wanting me to go public and share my dirty laundry and be a voice for my children who had no voice. And so he began to open doors, and I got this, like, supernatural boldness and courage. Like, I don't care what people think of me. I care what God thinks of me, and I know people have judged me. Oh, my gosh, you had three abortions and didn't know any better? And no, I didn't. I was lied to. I was deceived. I was pressured into these abortions. And ultimately, I made the biggest mistakes of my life. I created the, to me, it was the greatest sin on earth, the shedding of innocent blood. And as I was reading the Word of God in the Bible, God began to give me scriptures on how he wants us to be a voice for the voiceless, and Revelation 12:11, that we defeat Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and did not love our lives unto death. And God began to open doors that no man can open for me to bring this mess to a message to young people, to teenagers in universities, churches, radio, television, and, you know, get my books out there to bring this message in this generation, because abortion not only is hurting women, but it's killing children created in the image of God. And Denise, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Mm. It pollutes the land, the Word of God says. And this is big on God's heart.
Amen.
And
amen.
So this is the mission, the assignment that God has given me. To be a voice and to train up other women and men to you know, to have the resources, the information, the knowledge, the education,
yes,
to expose the lies of the enemy,
amen,
to declare the truth that abortion is not a safe procedure, and to bring humanity to children in the womb.
Wow. You know, we share that mission. And Denise, when you started to talk about your journey to that moment when the Lord appeared to you and brought your children with him, you know, I thought, there's probably somebody listening. I don't know. I just thought, there's probably somebody listening that had that question. How did you start to have faith? How did you, you know, get closer to God? How did you, and I, if that was you listening to this conversation, just do it. I want you, when you turn this off, by whatever means you're listening, maybe later down the road, you'll hear this in a podcast, but whatever you step away from this conversation, I want you to just get on your knees and say, Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, give me a new start. Jesus, be part of my story today. And I urge you to do that. because he will show himself faithful to your desire to have a relationship with him. It is really that simple. I cannot tell you how, but I can tell you how to start to have it for yourself. Denise, is such a beautiful and powerful story. And, you know, I had a similar moment where completely, you know, as a complete surprise to me, Jesus gave me a supernatural knowledge in my heart that my child is safe with him. And it's such a precious memory. And it's real. And you and I can't explain it any better than to just tell the story of how he did it. And to say, you know, if you don't believe now, begin right where you are and ask him to open up the eyes of your heart. And I promise you, God will honor that prayer. Denise Montanay of Canada Silent No More is our guest. And Denise, let's talk about the Hush documentary, because, boy, there's a lot of skepticism, that is, about not just about supernatural things that we can attest to out of our own testimony, but there's so much skepticism about the aftermath of abortion from the scientific community. And if you know, I've talked many, many times on this program about the Hush documentary because it is unique in the way that it presents these truths. Give us just the thumbnail sketch. You set out, the people who participated in this film set out to say, okay, look, is abortion harmful to women's mental health? Is there a connection between abortion and breast cancer? And does abortion impact a woman's reproductive health in the aftermath? Infertility, problems with conceiving again, you know, and so we went to the American Psychological Association, went to the National Institute of Health, went to the American Cancer Society, and the evidence is out there, and yet these organizations put forth a different story. Tell me about being part of this film, because it's just, to me, again, such a unique offering in the quest for truth about abortion and what it really does to those who it touches.
Yes, the Hush film, and you can go to hushfilm.com and get a copy. You know, we're praying that this Hush documentary, which has won several awards, is going to go viral, because in there you have a pro-choice director who's trying to find out the truth about these claims and studies, saying that, and we're not talking about one or two studies here, we're talking about like over 70 worldwide studies now from all over the world linking breast cancer to induced abortion. But in the documentary and also in my book, The Bride, the Serpent, and the Seed, I talk about the cover-up, the Cancer Society cover-up, because I think they are afraid of letting women know the link between abortion and breast cancer, because they've kept women in the dark for years and years and years. And yet the evidence is staggering. China did a huge meta-analysis in 2014 in 36 regions across China, and they found that one induced abortion increases the risk of breast cancer by 44%. And many of these studies are what they call statistically significant. And, you know, and even like common sense, because, you know, women have immature breasts until that first full-term pregnancy. And so what happens, it has to do with the hormones, the estrogen and progesterones. And so when a woman gets pregnant, 2,000 times the estrogen is naturally pumped into the breast to become milk for the mother in a few months for the baby. An induced abortion artificially terminates that pregnancy, and those cells never get to differentiate. And the first full-term pregnancy is the most important in order to reduce breast cancer risk. Breastfeeding reduces breast cancer risk, and the more children you have, the more it reduces breast cancer. And so there's this huge cover-up. I think they're afraid of lawsuits. The cancer societies are afraid of lawsuits, and the documentary totally brings that out as well. There's now not three or four studies or 10. There's like 140 worldwide studies linking cervical damage from induced abortion, cervical damage resulting in subsequent preterm births in subsequent pregnancies. And I ended up, you know, getting an infection, damaged cervix, badly scarred uterus. I've had two lumps removed from my left breast. Abortion is not a safe procedure. And thirdly, the thing that's brought out in the documentary as well as in my book is the fact that women's mental and spiritual health is truly affected because one day it hits you, as you mentioned, and you can't change it. And the grief, the regret, the remorse, you know, it's just unbelievable. And women are suffering mostly in silence because they don't want anyone to know. It's the big, deep, dark secret. And so they walk around with this grief, unresolved grief that they have, because you're not supposed to grieve the loss of your child when you had an abortion because it was your choice. But the choice to have your baby killed should be unthinkable. And because we've been there, done that, we know how much this is affecting women. And so the British Journal of Psychiatry in 2011 published a huge meta-analysis by Dr. Priscilla Coleman, finding that 81% of women will suffer some kind of mental health issue like depression. Suicides are six times higher for women who have an abortion compared to women who give birth to their unplanned children. So having your baby is way better for the woman's mental and physical health than having an abortion. And, of course, the documentary also points out that there's one abortionist in the documentary, Dr. Grimes. And, you know, of course, he is just, you know, lying through the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness. And he's tried to distance himself in the press in the meantime.
Yes.
We could talk for a long time about Dr. Grimes, but please go on.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, of course, he's an abortionist. So he is going to have a huge conflict of interest and will not want to get any lawsuits. So, you know, there have been a few women actually in the U.S. and in Australia who have sued abortion doctors because they were never informed about the breast cancer risk, even though they didn't get breast cancer. But the fact that it's a risk is huge. And not being told about it.
And, you know, Denise, I'm remiss. I should have mentioned for our listeners that the producer of this film did not have an abortion. And she's very strongly feminist and very strongly in favor of abortion rights going in. Yeah. But she had a late-term miscarriage. And so she wanted to know, okay, well, gosh, I mean, it's the same thing, an abrupt end to a pregnancy. Am I at risk for breast cancer? Am I at risk for subsequent problems with other pregnancies? And am I at risk for depression and other mental health issues? She was looking at it from a scientific point of view. And to me, this is so, it's so enlightening that she was not a pro-lifer. She had no ideological stake in finding a particular outcome. And yet she found not only that the evidence led to these detrimental impacts in these three areas in particular for women's health that she studied, but that the organizations charged with the public health in each of these three cases suppressed the evidence and
exactly.
Suppressed women finding out the truth. And to me, it's a real strong indictment, the strongest indictment that's out there about the detriment that abortion does to women.
Exactly. And that is why, you know, the resources are so important to get this message out in a big way through media, like through television. Like, my prayer is that this Hush film is going to be broadcast on television, national television, and I'm praying for divine connections with the media in the U.S. and actually around the world, because this is cutting-edge, riveting information that, punches a hole in this Goliath of abortion and exposes the lies, because it is not a safe procedure, and it did take the lives of our children. And so, you know, women are not being told the truth, they're not being informed, and they're totally being misled, and the evidence is overwhelming now.
Yes, Denise, we've got just about a minute remaining, so I want, first of all, to direct everyone to cradlemyheart.org, where we have links to the Hush film and to Denise's work with Canada Silent No More, as well as her speaking and her writings as well. But in just this 1 minute remaining, Denise, if you had a chance to speak to a woman who has been impacted by abortion, what would you say to her today?
I would say the first thing is you need to ask God to forgive you. And he does, and he will forgive you. The second most difficult thing, though, is to forgive yourself. But you must forgive yourself. And know that your children are, or your child is in heaven, and that God wants to take our mess and turn it into a message. And he wants to heal your heart and heal you spiritually, physically, in every single way. And he wants you to be a voice for the voiceless as well. And one way or another, help us to stop the violence.
Denise Maltenay of Canada Silent No More and other very important projects to protect unborn life and to help heal the hearts of those who have experienced abortion. Thank you so much for being our guest on Cradle My Heart Radio, Denise. Now stay with us. Coming up on Faith Radio, we will be taking your phone calls and we'll also take a look at some of the top stories on the pro-life issue in the news this week here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, and the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being here. This is Cradle My Heart, and we're live, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003, so you can join the conversation. It's quite a striking story we heard from our guest tonight, Denise Maltenay, and if you have a reaction, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-811-3003. For our callers tonight, we do have a great pro-life resource, and it doesn't directly relate to the issue of unplanned pregnancy and abortion, but it is so pertinent to what women experience and what women need after abortion. And this is a copy of Bruce Marciano's book, Jesus, the Man Who Loved Women. He treasures, esteems, and delights in you. And Bruce, that is, Bruce Marciano, who portrayed Jesus on film. And in this book, he speaks prophetically from the heart of God, fashioning a message for a group of people he says Jesus loved, you know. And of course, these are the women in the Gospels. And I love how he brings forward the stories of his love for us. And I know you're going to be blessed by this book as well. So when you join us at 1-800-811-3003, Bruce has been very kind to share copies of the book that we will provide for you. 1-800-811-3003. Bruce was our guest a number of months ago, and we've got a podcast of that visit up on the website at cradlemyheart.org. You just click the button that says Podcast Spotlight, and you'll be able to listen to it in a big hurry when the program's over tonight. Don't go now. Call now if you'd like to win Bruce Marciano's book, Jesus, the Man Who Loved Women. 1-800-811-3003. We spoke with Bruce a number of months ago because we were talking about his film, Allison's Choice, which features a divine intervention that prevented an abortion. And we have stories about how God has worked in our lives and how his presence has been made so real to us. And if you have a story to share along those lines, or if you have a reaction to the story that you heard from Denise Maltenay, our guest earlier tonight, please do join us. 1-800-811-3003. I also want to bring your attention to something for the radio listeners in the Twin Cities area listening to our Faith Radio affiliate. And this is an event that is open to everyone. So if you can get yourself to the Twin Cities toward the end of this month, you're certainly invited. But I want to cast a vision with this. And so we've invited Kathy Goggin of New Life Family Services to join us and talk about an event called Me Too that's coming up later this month. Kathy, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for having me on tonight.
I really want to thank New Life Family Services for the support of this broadcast as well. Many listeners, again, in our Twin Cities listening area have heard the announcements about the Conquerors program, and many people have been directed because of New Life Family Services, understanding the reach and the impact that radio can have. Because people listen to the radio one at a time, Kathy. It's kind of always usually an intimate experience. And so thank you for sponsoring our broadcast and for being part of the Faith Radio family at New Life Family Services. Tell us about the Conquerors program for those who aren't familiar with it.
Well, Conquerors is a post-abortion support healing program that's been around since 1985. And we offer one-on-one mentoring and support groups to women and men who have experienced pain after abortion. It is biblically based, of course, and Jesus is our healer, and he brings freedom and forgiveness to us when we seek him. And, you know, we're not the only post-abortion ministry around, but there are many others like us, and we love watching what the Lord will do in women who will take that courageous step forward and find healing in Christ and in the programs that are offered.
And Conquerors is unique. I experienced the program over 10 years ago now. It's been quite a while. And I will never forget it. It was one of the most memorable experiences of my life, and certainly of my Christian life. And I find that, you know, I'm familiar with the Forgiven and Set Free Bible study. We've interviewed Pat Layton, who created the Surrendering the Secret curriculum for healing after abortion. We've spoken several times with Dr. Teresa Burke, founder of the Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. And I haven't participated personally in those programs, but I have spoken with a number of people who will say that, yes, they absolutely found their healing there. But I want to talk about Conquerors because the content of this program is really unique. Dr. Jeanette Vogt is a clinician who was practicing in the Twin Cities and wrote a book that was published in the 1990s called Healing Post-Abortion Trauma. And she was in a position to write about that. You know, there's still, incredibly to me, Kathy, there's still a controversy about whether abortion harms women's mental health or emotional health. And Dr. Vogt not only acknowledged what she was seeing in her practice, but found a great way to fashion a healing model by dealing with all of the emotions that can arise, as well as you say, introducing the women to the way in which Christ can heal us and heal these damaged emotions, and also find a path to healing something that our emotions can never do for us, which is, you know, create this heavenly bond with our children in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are some of the distinctives of the Conqueror's model that you would say, someone listening who thinks, I'm not sure I could go to that, I'm not sure that would be for me, I don't want to talk about this experience. I mean, what are some of the distinctives that people might not be aware of that they would be able to get from this program?
Well, there are 12 sessions in Conquerors, and we take a topic each week. So the very first week, we do introductions. We share our stories. And, of course, that's a very difficult time, but our groups and our mentoring sessions are confidential. It's a safe place to share them. All of our facilitators are trained and experienced and also post-abortive, so they know the heart of the women who are speaking. Their stories may be different, but they share the same loss. So we do that the first week. The second week is powerlessness. We are powerless to heal ourselves. We need Jesus. We need his power to come in and heal our broken hearts. Session three fear and anxiety. 4 is anger. 5 is shame and guilt. 6, grief. And I think a lot of post-abortive women don't, they know their emotional pain, but they sometimes don't equate it to grief. And so session 6 on grief is just instrumental. We see a lot of healing take place in that session. Session 7 is accountability. Who's responsible for my abortion? Yes, we made that choice, but there are factors outside of our decision that helped us to come to that conclusion. Session 8 is relationships. Our abortions affect our relationships. It might be relationships with a spouse down the road, with our parents, with our future children. Session 9 then deals with, we actually have an honor service, and we give dignity and honor to the children that we've lost to abortion. And I know that can sound scary, and it can be, but once you get there, it's just like having a memorial service for someone else that you've lost who is dear to your heart. It's really a healing, healing experience. As you know, Kim, and actually I went through Conquerors as well 18 years ago, so I do understand how it works. Session 10 then is forgiveness. Forgiving others, accepting the Lord's forgiveness for ourselves, for the decision we made. Session 12 is self-image. Who does God say that I am? Not what do people say about us or who we are, but who does He say that we are? And then that last session, moving forward in healing after Conquerors is over, because as you know, our life is a process of healing. Just as we walk out our salvation, we walk out our process of healing. So that encompasses the program.
Sure. Kathy Goggin is our guest, and she is in charge of the Conquerors Program, Conquerors Program Manager for New Life Family Services. And Kathy, we wanted to talk tonight about this event called the Me Too. Well, it's just called Me Too.
Yeah.
And
Me
I'm
too.
Going to speak.
Yep.
And I'm going to bring a message of encouragement and hope and talk about, you know, what's on the other side of our healing. And so New Life Family Services is inviting everyone who's experienced healing in Christ to come and celebrate a celebration of,
yes,
of our healing. It's a great event. I'm really excited about it because it's very, it's a new thing. And I think that there have only been maybe one or two other events like this in the country. Talk about the vision for Me Too.
Well, Me Too event started actually last year in Columbus, Ohio. There was a pregnancy resource center who had the vision for it. And their executive director is friends with our executive director at New Life and shared that vision. And their vision is to actually have Me Too happen annually in January and to have it spread across the nation, that we would celebrate at our own events, but at the same time on the same day. And we are thrilled to be a part of the second annual Me Too. Our first one, of course, in the Twin Cities, but Columbus celebrating their second one. So, and we hope next year that other pregnancy resource centers would join us or other post-abortion ministries would join us.
Well, and this event is open to anyone who would like to attend who feels that this is something that would be appropriate for them, right? How do people participate if this is something that's resonating with someone listening tonight?
Right. Well, let me just clarify. It's for women.
Yes. Thank you. That's good.
Yes. It's for women who have experienced some type of healing after abortion. So we can have them directed to the Me Too event. Sign on, MeTooEvent.org. They can RSVP there. The cost is $25 to attend, and the event is held at the University of Northwestern on January 28th from 11 to 2. And we are thrilled to have you as our keynote speaker.
Well, and the message that God is formulating for me is, you know, it's a scandalous thing, Kathy, and I'm sure you have felt this at some moment, that we should be forgiven of this. I mean, we broke the commandment against the shedding of innocent blood, mm-hmm. and a person is missing because of our participation. And as you say, one of the things that's so wonderful about Conquerors is learning about accountability, that we aren't completely to blame, nor can we completely blame someone else.
Right.
So why would God choose to just pardon us? Can it really be that simple? And if it is, what's on the other side of that pardon? What is his plan for us once we are healed? And I'm excited about what God is showing me in terms of the encouragement for people, because, Kathy, I still know so many people who've confided in abortion who say, but I could never be public like you are. And, well, not everybody's going to be called to be public like I am.
Right.
I mean, when God redeemed my abortion, he redeemed the career that I was trying to protect in choosing that abortion as well. Everybody's story is unique, and not everybody will be called to be public, but everybody is called to the freedom that those who are closest to us, who would need to know, that we would be free to be able to share it. And more than that. So we'll talk just a little bit more about what the message is going to be. We're going to take a short break as well. 1-800-811-3003. And if you would like to attend, I will sponsor you if you call and tell us why you'd like to attend. 1-800-811-3003 for our first caller at 1-800-811-3003. I would be very happy to sponsor you by providing for your ticket to Me Too. Join us, 1-800-811-3003. Back with Kathy Goggin of New Life Family Services after this.
After abortion, Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
800-811-3003. Our phones are open, and we have an offer of a ticket to Me Too, and we'd love to have you join us. It's coming up on January 28th at University of Northwestern, and I will be the speaker. It's from 11 until 1 or so, and Kathy Goggin is our guest from New Life Family Services and the Conquerors Program. And there are other organizations that are sponsoring, and so maybe there are people who have gone through different programs that you'd want to mention, Kathy, that would enjoy being at the Me Too event as well.
Thank you for asking. I absolutely do. The other post-abortion ministries that will be represented and also be inviting their alumni are Project Healing, Rachel's Vineyard Twin Cities, Surrendering the Secret, Silent No More Minnesota, Liberate Ministries, and Rich in Mercy. And we are thrilled to be collaborating with each one of them.
Well, and these are all friends and colleagues represented by those organizations. And again, very well-established ministries and very trustworthy vessels. If you have had an abortion, and again, you are feeling bound in silence, bound in shame, that is not God's plan for you. And the whole point of healing after abortion is that you might share the incredible mercy of Jesus Christ to set us free from this. Because, as Kathy said, it's a grief experience as well as a sin experience, and one then that brings guilt into our lives. And, Kathy, I think that, you know, the grief piece that you mentioned, I think that it's so important that women understand, as someone said to me, it's very easy to get our emotional wires crossed where we read what's really grief as guilt. So we maybe understand the cross, we understand God's mercy and forgiveness, but we just can't seem to get over it where, you know, when it comes to abortion, whether it's the annual visit with our physician, when we get asked about how many pregnancies we've had, or some other reminder comes up, or whether it's simply an aching in our hearts, we feel we can't get over it. And I think that, again, knowing that God has a plan for you in this, which may be sharing the message of healing with others who need to know. I really want to echo what Kathy has said about grief, and also give you a glimmer of hope. There was a wonderful little quote in Our Daily Bread. It's one of the devotionals I read, Kathy, and it said, "Begin to think about every loss in life as God opening up a space for His presence in your heart." And if you can begin to rethink what abortion has meant to you and start thinking about God's presence in that empty place of your heart, I see that we can really begin to think about the joy of our healing. And I really want to encourage you, if you have experienced healing after abortion, that you would attend this event and that you would be able to celebrate it. Because I think it's an encouragement that, you know, Kathy, there are millions of people who have been harmed by abortion. Yeah. And we should be seeing that events like this couldn't contain the number who would want to be attending. And yet we know that that's not true, because there's still so much shame and secrecy and difficulty emotionally that women have coming forward. So I'll just give you a chance to issue your personal invitation for those who have experienced healing to join us at the Me Too event.
Well, ladies, this event is for you, and we want so much for you to join us and just to be in a place that's safe once again. You know, we've all gone through healing, different programs, different avenues, but let's come together. Let's celebrate what Jesus has done for us. Let's encourage each other. And maybe in doing that and in listening to what Kim is going to share with us, God's going to speak to our hearts about what is the next step, What is that next place He's going to take us to? Where are we going to go? Who are we going to share this healing with? Because as the disciples of Christ went forth and made more disciples, that really, I believe, is God's heart for us who are post-abortive women. I think He wants all of us to go forth, whether we're sharing that message with one woman or a group of women. It's His direction and His leading, of course, but it is His heart to heal, and He's going to do that healing through us as women who have been healed. So please come and join us.
Kathy, thank you so much. It's just been a joy, and I really look forward to seeing you. Less than 2 weeks now at Me Too.
That's right, Kim. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you and having you there.
And we'll have the information linked at cradlemyheart.org, and we've got a notice about Me Too on our Facebook page. Kathy, can people give us the best way for people to learn more? Okay, I guess Kathy... so it'll be at cradlemyheart.org, or you can go to New Life Family Services website. I think it's nlfs.org, and check them out on their Facebook page as well. Really hope that you'll be able to join us. Coming up next week, we're going to hear from Christina Marie Bennett, and she is a young woman whose life was saved by a supernatural encounter with someone that her mother met while she was on her way to abort Christina. Christina didn't learn about those circumstances surrounding her life before birth until she was in college. But she became a very strong advocate for life as a prayer warrior in the Bound for Life movement, and then working in the pregnancy help movement directly, including now working at a pregnancy help center in Connecticut. You're going to love Christina's story. It's a very encouraging one. And we'll also have more pro-life resources for you. Our number is 1-800-811-3003. If you didn't have the opportunity to call during the program, we will Of course, we always will answer a voicemail, and we try to do that within 24 hours. So you can leave a voicemail for us at 1-800-811-3003. You can leave a message that will, or a question or a message that we can answer on the air if you like, or if you prefer to have your contact remain private, please let us know that as well. My name is Kim Cotola, and it's my joy to be here to share with you the healing that I have found. And God is no respecter of persons. His healing is His will for you as well. It's all of Him. It is nothing to do with anything that I did or deserve. It's all of Him, and He loves us all the same. And I hope that you would reach out like the woman who reached for the hem of His robe and find your miracle. And soon. You can send us an email confidentially at cradlemyheart.org. There's a contact form to be able to do that on the website as well. And so please just go to cradlemyheart.org to be in touch with us in between our broadcasts. We're here for you live on Sunday nights. Again, next week it's Christina Marie Bennett. And we always try to post some of the pro-life stories of the week that we're following in the news. There's much going on with President-elect Trump, the upcoming March for Life in Washington, D.C. This was Sanctity of Life Sunday. Leave us a comment on our Facebook page, which is at Cradle My Heart, if you want to say something of a great message you heard for Sanctity of Life Sunday at your church. Be in touch. We would love to hear from you. And please remember, Jesus loves you. And so do we. Thanks for listening.